Jesus' breath. How to lean on him. Who can lean on him? We can all. You know, it's something, sometimes children, they're very dear to their parents. I remember when I was growing up, I loved my mother, and I'm sure the others did too. But I can tell how I felt within. So much so that we'd be going somewhere and I'd try to walk in her little footsteps. That's how much I loved her. And, you know, I remember sometimes she would be sick with these headaches. She would get these migraine headaches. And, you know, children just can go and play and mom laying there. But it was not easy for me to do that. I'd rather sit there, right there by her, while she was sick. Yeah, and I believe we can have that kind of relationship with God. Amen. I believe he wants that. He paid such a great price to have us close to him.
Yes.
That we can lean on his breast, on Jesus' breast. We can be so close to him that we can hear that song, His Faintest Whisper.
Yes.
That was so touching to me. When he says something, I want to be able to hear him. I want him to tell me what to do. Told this, where was I? I don't know where I was at, but I told about, in Florida. I had, and I'm telling it again, I had had this desire to go and do something in bowling. But I began to feel like something wasn't, I didn't feel comfortable about it. So I asked the ministers to pray and Monarch, and they did, and I just put it in God's hand. And so I canceled the plans and went on about my business. But when I was in reinstatement in Honduras, one morning I believe it was, the Lord just opened up to me to go. What a joy I felt. It just, I was so happy. Go, and he not only did it, but he showed me how to do it, just what to do. I was so thankful. And this is what I want. I want to live in a way that he can talk to me. Sometimes the Lord can tell us no in things we want to do. And sometimes he can tell us yes. Or he can tell us how to do it.
Right.
You know, I was thinking about how sometimes we have problems, you know, and we think, oh, I can fix this. I know what to say. You know, so and so, I can tell them this is my child. I can tell them what I feel. All these kind of things. That's what. But you know what? If we lean on him, he can tell us how to handle our problems.
Yes.
Maybe the words I thought I was going to say would be a hindrance or hurt or damage or cause problems. So we want to be able to just lean on Jesus. So kind of like that dear child, that's what we want to be. When we lean on him and we're close to him, we're dear to him. You notice in that scripture it said, Jesus loved him. When we lean on him and we do the things he say, he loves us. And it's precious. We have a precious relationship with God, not like none other. And it's wonderful. So we have this privilege to lean on him. Every one of us. No exemptions. I want us to look at Moses. How God felt about Moses. Let's go to Numbers. The 12th chapter of Numbers, just verse 4 and 8. If you remember Moses, he would go up into the mountain and he would talk with God and God with him. And one time he came down, he was so, his countenance and everything was so radiant that I don't think the people could stand it. We can get that from God. Do you think it was supposed to be just the Testament experiences? No. Ours should even be more because today we have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We have the Holy Spirit in us.
Yes.
They had the Holy Spirit working with them, but we have it in us on a daily basis. We can live so that God, that the glory of God can shine upon us.
Yes.
And it's not that we want something to people to look at us. It is God. Amen. See, when we have glory of God, it points to, back to God.
Yes.
It doesn't point to us. So let's go to Numbers and look at what God said about Moses. Somebody read
and
that for me. You see how that God felt so close to Moses, he said he spoke mouth to mouth.
Right.
We can get there.
Amen.
I believe the Lord can speak mouth to mouth to us.
Yes.
We can live so close to him that he said for a prophet, he'd speak to him in a dream or whatever. But Moses, he spoke mouth to mouth. Oh, I want to encourage it to draw close to the Lord. You see, the enemy wants us to go as far away from the Lord. He puts all of these entertainments in our hands for us to get, all involved in and all worked up in the things of this world. But if we take ourselves away from that and get close to God, what a blessed privilege. What a beautiful life it is. And what a help we can be to others.
Amen.
Now, let's look at Abraham. Abraham had a close relationship to God.
Yes.
Let's go to James 2 and 23. I don't think I'll be up here very long, but I want to just share some of these precious thoughts to me, how that we can live, what a blessing, instead of trying to get farther and farther away from the Lord or toward the world. Let's turn our back on the world and get closer and closer to God. We don't leave these things here. The world pass away, the Bible said, and the lust thereof. But if we will get close to God, the things that we get from God is eternal. We can take them with us. You know, we can get all involved in working, building this and building that, having this and having that. But those things are passing away. But our love, our devotion, our closeness to God will go right with us. James 2 and 23 tells about Abraham and his relationship with God. Don't you want to be God's friend?
Yes.
Don't you want him to feel so close to you? You know, I was thinking about Samaya, my granddaughter, when she was little. She had a tendency to always be leaning on me. And it was that closeness that she had. Don't you want to have that closeness with God?
Yes.
Just lean on his breast. And you know that song says, pillowed in his loving bosom. That's what we want to do.
Yes.
Be pillowed in his loving bosom. And what a relationship that is. Because not only it's like a two-way relationship. Our devotion and our love is going to God, and his love is coming right back to us. How precious it is. Now, let's look at Abraham again in Genesis 18. God counted him as his friend.
Yes.
And you know, when you have a friend, you share secrets, don't you? You don't hardly, if you're going to do something real special, you don't keep it from your good friend. You might keep it from others, but your friend, you tell them. You say, listen, such and such, I'm going to be doing such and such. You can't tell anybody. You been there? But you share. Well, this is the way God was with Abraham.
Yes.
And rightfully so, because Abraham obeyed God. He had that, it was a two back and forth relationship. He was pleasing God.
Yes.
And then God loved him as his friend. So what did he say in, and here he had, it started at the 17th verse.
And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? See that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him.
Yes.
So you see, he felt so close to him. This was this relationship he had. He said, shall I hide it? And he didn't. And he told him. He told him his secret, what he was planning to do. And then Abraham, this was before he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham had a chance to talk to God.
Yes, right.
And try to get mercy for those people. And so this is the kind of relationship we want to have. Sometimes the Lord let us know, you know, it's not best for so-and-so to do such-and-such. And you pray for them that God would bless. I remember I used to have these dreams that they would come true. That's right, have mercy. Because they weren't always good things.
That's
right. So one time I had a dream about my sister, and she said, don't you dream about me no more. She didn't want me. She didn't want me dreaming about her. But my mother told me, she said, Doris, when you have those dreams, she said, pray for them. Pray.
That's right.
And I've used that all these years. So one year, my husband was working. I don't know if I told you all this, but he was working on a scaffold, but I didn't know it. So I had a dream that he was working on a scaffold and he fell. And I told him about the dream. And he said, do you know I'm working on a scaffold now? And I didn't know it. But I remembered what my mother said. She said, pray. So I prayed for my husband. And guess what? The Lord didn't let him fall. He was able to finish that job on that scaffold without falling. Had a dream about one of my grandchildren. And it was so scary to me. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed for them. And the Lord said, I'm taking care of them. He gave me comfort that he's taking care of them. So you see, we want to have this kind of relationship with God where he can talk to us and he can warn us. Sometimes we don't too much like these warnings, but at least we'll have an opportunity to pray. And maybe God will intervene, you know, for the person or the persons. And let's look at Hezekiah, 2 Kings 20 and 3. Hezekiah was sick unto death. And the prophet told him, get your house in order. You'll die and not live. And I want to read his prayer here. Yes, please. The third.
And prayed unto the Lord, saying,
yes,
I beseech heard thy prayer.
Yes.
I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years.
Yes.
And I will deliver thee the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, city for my own sake, for David's sake.
You see, he said, behold, I have walked with before you and with a perfect heart and done that which was good. He had a good relationship with God.
Yes.
So much so that God saw those tears. I believe that we can live where just a little tear falling, God will see that and he will be touched and he will be moved and he will help. But we have to be close to him in order to get this. Jesus had that kind of relationship with the Father. John 8, we want to read verses 28-29. Jesus is our perfect example. And he came here doing God's will.
Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, both know me, ye know whence I am, and I am not troubled myself, and ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me.
I think it's go to on the 30, maybe that's it. I get to it.
Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. People believed on him and said, when Christ cometh, will you do more miracles than these which this man has done?
That's not it. Let's go to 10 and 30. I don't know.
Okay, 10 and 30. I and my Father are one.
Yes. And then in one scripture he said something about what his Father tells him to do, say he says, and what, I don't know, I must have written. Okay.
Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.
Yes. That's the key right there. Doing always those things that pleases him.
Yes.
You know, in order to be able to have a good relationship to God, we must be obedient. Jesus was obedient. And he set that example, and we must be too. Perfect obedience.
Yes.
Perfect obedience.
Yes.
Is what gives us that relationship. But not only obeying, but loving God.
Right.
See, our obedience and our doing what he said, it should be motivated by love.
Yes.
So we should so love God that we don't want to displease him. If he says something and we don't, it's against what we want to do, our love for God should supersede our will.
Amen.
And we want to please him.
Yes.
So this is what it's going to take to have that close relationship to God. Loving him with all thy heart. The scripture says,
yes.
Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's just not words. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And one scripture said, with all your might. So that means the love of God is in our heart so deeply that everything we do or say, one scripture says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether we eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Everything, every move we make need to be motivated by our love for God. The love that we have in God will help us not to say things that we ought not say. And it help us not to do things we ought not do. And it help us to obey his word. He will reveal himself to us if we will just be willing and love him enough to do his will perfectly. And so let's go on to I just want us to go on and think about how we can be one with God. See, we can love him so much, we're one with him.
Yes.
If he say go, we go. If he say stay, we stay. And this, let's go to John 17 and read verse 11 and verse 21. Amen.
I was with them in the world, in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost.
So you see, God is going to keep us, but we need to be willing to live like he says for us to live.
Yes.
Let's go now, we're going to close real soon, to John 14. I want us to start reading at verse 15. And look how this relationship between us and God is.
If you love me, yes. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Yes.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, give them not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, in you.
Look at that. He's dwelling with you and in you. What a beautiful relationship. It's not a far-off relationship. It's not, you know, he's doing this and he's telling you to do that. But he's right there in you, with you and in you.
Thank the Lord.
Let's read on.
I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more. You see me because I live. You shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in my Father.
Look at that. I'm in my Father, you're in me, and I'm you. What a beautiful oneness we have with God and Jesus and the Father. Read on.
He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father.
Yes.
And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him.
Just a minute. So you want to know God? You want to know Jesus? Paul said, there's a scripture that says, I can't get it together, but to know him. That was his motivation. He wants to know God.
Yes.
We want to know God. How are we going to do this? We're going to be one with him. Do what he says do. Then God and love him, and he's going to manifest himself unto us. Read on.
Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words.
Yes.
And my Father will love him, unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with me.
You can just stop there. So, see, he that loveth me, you see how that our obedience to him is motivated by our love for him?
Lord.
He that loveth me keepeth my words.
Yes.
If you can't keep God's word, check your law. Check your love.
Amen.
Because it's love that helps us to keep his word and to do his will. And then we get this threefold relationship with God, Jesus, and the Father. What a beautiful life to live. To have the Father, to pillow on his Jesus' breast and have the Father in us and through us, working through us, and we in him. Pray for me that I'll be faithful.